And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
We're the Pop Truck. Head to the dirt.
Gotta give us what we want. Gotta give us what we need.
Worry about my posse getting jumped. Cause if we ever do, yo TB, pop the trunk.
Cause we make a pop the trunk and hit the switch.
Now act stupid, I'll pop the trunk. Now give me your boom.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, Dow?
I am David Dell and Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in, center stage on the mic.
And we putting it on wax. It's the new style.
What, Jalen Jacoby, what do?
We give the people what they want.
Full weekend of games in the NFL to break down, some impressive performances in college football. Big fight that Jalen Rose tweeted that he got on every one of the TVs in his house, which just seems like a waste of money, if you ask me. It really just seems like a waste of money. That's just financially irresponsible. It's financially irresponsible. It really, really is. So much to get to and more. And don't forget, we need your calls. Ladies, especially, call 985-80-JALEN. 985-80-JALEN. Leave us voicemails. We'll be doing female-exclusive voicemails on Wednesday. But we start where week four Sunday finished, the Sunday night game. The Cowboys, they were playing so well in the first three games, went into New Orleans and got shut down. Dak threw for zero touchdowns. Ezekiel Elliott ran the ball 18 times for just 35 yards. And the Saints came away with the 12-10 win. Jalen Rose, were the Cowboys exposed last night in New Orleans?
I don't believe that they were exposed, but this game validates my phrase that I like to gauge success by realistic expectations. If Drew Brees was on the center, we would not be surprised at all that they lost the game on the road at the Dome. Mm-hmm. But since Teddy Bridgewater, without a nickname, is under center, now all of a sudden we're surprised. It was a low-scoring game. You got to give the Saints defense a lot of credit, as you mentioned. Shut down Zeke. Shut down Amari. They took the ball from Zeke, causing a fumble on fourth down. They took the ball from Jason Witten and caused a fumble. Their defense was stout. They held the Cowboys in check, and it was a big-time win by the Saints.
And I just want to point out Lattimore, who just seemed to be absolutely everywhere last night. Every time the ball was in the air, it seemed like Lattimore was around it. It was a really impressive game from him, and they really got after Dak Prescott. Like, he was pressured over and over again, and under those times when he was pressured, he was 2-for-7 for 15 yards. It just seemed like the Saints defense really had Dak and this Cowboys offense discombobulated. Do you expect this offense to struggle moving forward, or do you think this is just sort of like a one-week thing?
This is the most struggle that they've had in each phase all season, clearly, and arguably as an offense since Amari Cooper joined the team. So I think this is a blip, not necessarily a trend, but I want to make sure I continue to give the Saints all types of credit. Kamara didn't have his explosive fantasy-type numbers. Neither did Thomas, but it was a quality win playing on their home field.
It really was, and Teddy Bridgewater did what he does, you know what I mean? He completed a lot of passes, short passes, and played well, and this was a team in the Cowboys that played really well going into week four and then sort of fell off a cliff. And the Browns did the exact opposite. Up to this game, they had not lived up to expectations. So what did they do? They went into Baltimore against a very good Ravens team and defense and went off. They hung 40 points on the Ravens. Chubb had 165 yards. Baker threw for 342 yards. Is this the type of performance that they could break out and build on moving forward?
Absolutely. This was a character win by the Browns, because you lose this game, you go down 1-3. Now all of a sudden they start to probably question themselves. And that sound that you hear is Nick Chubb still running. He ran terrifically yesterday, and without Odell having a big time game. Mm-mm. Humphreys was bullying Odell, by the way. But again, Landry had a season high in yards. Baker did a terrific job. This is the Browns that a lot of people anticipated seeing in the offseason.
And Landry had that nice little, like, fake pitch to Odell. It seemed like they opened up the playbook a little bit for the Browns. And This was the best play of the day. This, in my mind, has got to be the greatest incomplete pass that I can remember. Two pitches get it, and then he steps in through two defenders and wait, look at that throw! Jalen, that is a wide receiver and puts it on the money. Jalen, is this the greatest incomplete pass you have ever seen?
Absolutely not. But what I will say is this. He did a terrific job of eluding two tacklers. He could have got sacked. I also thought it was pass interference, and they didn't call it. And lastly, the receiver, while it was high, did get two hands on the football. So look for them to run that play again.
So we've been doing this thing where we pick the best win and the worst loss for some of the teams that we saw. And this next game was interesting. This is what I thought the best win of the week was, but you had it as the worst loss. And this is between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers heading into Los Angeles to face the Rams. Not only did they win the game, they won it handily, put up 55 points on the Rams. Jalen Rose, what did you see in this game?
That's my guy right there, and Dominican. Great to see him getting the pay dirt. But again, Godwin was terrific. 172 yards, two TDs. Jameis threw for four TDs. Each of their quality backs, Barber as well as Jones, both scored rushing TDs. And how about their defense? People need to start talking about their defense. Man, and the 0-4 Broncos gave up way too early on Shaq Beard. They gave up too early. Mm-hmm. So much so, he got nine sacks already this year.
Shaq Barrett has nine sacks in four games. It's impressive. It's ever since they started counting sacks as a stat, that is the highest through the first four games of a season. So that was my best win and your worst loss. But what was your biggest surprise coming out of Sunday week four?
My biggest surprise was seeing the Texans be held to 10 points and lose to the Panthers without Cam Newton. By the way, when he's been in uniform for the past 10 games, Cam, I'm talking about, the team is 1-9.
Wow.
With their new quarterback, Allen, they're now 2-0. McCaffrey has become the feature Swiss Army knife of the NFL. Anytime you got a guy getting 27 carries plus 10 receptions, he's been exceptional this year as a workhorse. So I want to make sure I acknowledge the Panthers, who had a terrific day without Cam again.
And just the other side of the ball, you mentioned the Texans only had 10 points. You expect more from Deshaun Watson. Pair him with DeAndre Hopkins. And then you have Fuller on the other side. Like, I thought this passing game would produce a lot more than they have so far this season. It'll be interesting to see how the Texans adjust moving forward. Jalen Rose, you want to know what my biggest surprise was? The Lions almost beating the Chiefs. The Lions had the lead against the Kansas City Chiefs, the undefeated AFC finalists from last season with Patrick Mahomes and all those weapons and Andy Reid and all that creativity. The Lions should have won this game, Jalen Rose. The Lions should have won this game. Look at Mahomes here. I mean, the Lions getting after people and making things happen on defense. And Jalen, I know you watched this game at the end. This catch right here, but look at the clock. 2:25 left, giving it over to Patrick Mahomes, and then this play happened. I mean, the Lions actually called a timeout before that run because they kind of assumed that the Chiefs were going to score. They had a couple Hail Marys at the end. Obviously, didn't come to fruition. Jalen Rose, if you had a sound that encapsulates how you feel about the Detroit Lions, what would it be?
Meow.
No?
Meow.
That was a good performance.
Let me give you a series of things that took place that embodies what it's like to be a Lions fan, okay? Galladay catches the football, falls to the ground, it moves a little bit. All of a sudden, it becomes an incomplete pass versus being a touchdown. The very next play, Matthew Stafford rolls left and fumbles the football. Mm-hmm. The very next play and fumbles the football. How about we're in the red zone again? Kerryon Johnson, who ran the ball well, 125 yards, lost his bearings a little bit, stuck the football out. It gets knocked out of his hand. All of a sudden, Breland catches the picks up the football, goes 100 yards, untouched.
100 yards.
And scores.
No one in the Lions even moved. No one in the Lions moved.
And we're wondering, like, was it a fumble? Are they going to The same crew, by the way, who blew the play dead when it was the Saints last week. So they wasn't going to get it wrong and blow the whistle. So now all of a sudden they get a touchdown there. And then lastly, Galladay was awesome catching the football. As a matter of fact, you just showed him get the twinkle toes in and catch the football, and we get the lead and we up three. Usually at that point, a team hopes to drive the field and get a field goal possibly to send it in overtime. But they have the reigning MVP of Patrick Mahomes, and they just drive down the field and just score a touchdown like it was nobody's big deal. Like it was no surprise at all.
We were not only that.
No big deal at all.
The Lions defense was on the field looking at a 4th and 8 in Chiefs territory. And I'm thinking, all they need to do is stop them from getting 8 yards. If they stop them from getting 8 yards, the Lions are going to be undefeated. They will have taken down the Chiefs, taken down the reigning MVP. And guess what? Mahomes, he just walked past the first down marker. There's no one around. Someone might want to keep an eye on Patrick Mahomes. Jalen, but let me tell you, I walk away, obviously I'm not as emotionally invested in the Lions as you are. That's an understatement of the year. I walk away from this feeling like this is a good game for the Lions. We did not have high expectations for these Lions, and they were toe-to-toe with the Kansas City Chiefs. They limited the Chiefs to 30 points. They limited Patrick Mahomes to not throwing a touchdown pass. And if you think about those two plays that you mentioned, the fumble from Stafford after the overturned touchdown and the fumble from Johnson on the 1 yard line that was somehow returned for 99 to 100 yards is a 14 point swing. I walk away from this feeling positive about the Lions. Do you share that positivity?
I can't get into moral victories.
Oh, come on.
It was impressive that Patrick Mahomes playing in the dome for the first time didn't go crazy. Yes, but there were certain plays like you just described. That 4th down, we have to find a way to close the deal. We were without Darius Slay, our best corner guy, and we still kept it close, as you mentioned. But again, I can't accept any more victories with my squad. I'm disappointed.
Well, I feel better on this Monday about the Lions than I have any Monday this season. Even though they lost, I will call it a moral victory myself, even if you won't admit it. Yep. Jalen. And right now, it is time to give the people what they want. Listen, I am still eating my butcher box. I know that the grilling season is coming to a close, but you can still get out there and grill. And the butcher box meats are the best I've ever had in my life. If you haven't taken advantage of their amazing offers, you need to listen up. Every month, butcher box delivers humanely raised, 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, heritage-bred pork, and wild-caught Alaskan salmon directly to your door. You choose from 4 curated boxes, or you can customize your own box with all of your favorite cuts. And guess what? It comes with free shipping. ButcherBox makes high-quality meat with no added hormones or antibiotics easier than ever. The last box I got, bacon. My family goes through so much bacon. The kids love bacon. My wife loves bacon. Who doesn't love bacon? We put bacon in everything. Got like a bunch of bacon and the chicken breasts. My wife has one of those pressure cooker things, makes some tiki masala in there. Woo! God, ButcherBox meats. So convenient, so perfect. I absolutely love it. And here's the thing. Even if you're not the best cook in the world, ButcherBox has tons of awesome recipes and resources on their website to help you bring out all the flavor in each cut of meat you get from ButcherBox. And this month, ButcherBox is offering new members $20 off your very first box, plus free ground beef for the life of your subscription when you sign up at ButcherBox.com/Jacoby. Again, in addition to all the great meat you'll get and the convenience of having it delivered to your door, ButcherBox is knocking off $20 your first box and throwing in 2 pounds of free ground beef in every box for the life of your subscription. 2 pounds of free ground beef in every single box. That is ButcherBox.com/Jacoby. ButcherBox.com/Jacoby. Though, you know what's happened in my family? Reg the Ledge. We used to have 1 pound of ground beef for Taco Tuesdays. And that would almost get it done, but now there's so many people in my family, we need all 2 of those free pounds of ground beef for Taco Tuesdays. There are 5 human beings in my family that, listen, go big. Go to ButcherBox.com/Jacoby and take advantage of all the offers that ButcherBox has.
There was some very interesting news in the NBA, as most of the teams have had their media days, and some interesting sound was given. Ramona Shelburne sat down with Paul George, who just joined the Clippers, and here's what he had to say about his current health.
I'm pretty far along. I still got a little ways to go, but I'm happy where I'm at. I'm not all the way healthy, but I'm where I want to be right now at this point. I will be out of the preseason. If as of now, I'll be out of October fully. But, you know, who knows? We'll see. November is in the November range is our target date.
Jalen, for some reason, I assumed that Paul George would be available at the beginning of the season. But now he said it might go into November until he is available. How much of a concern is this for the Clippers?
Not much of a concern because he's already signed for the next few years. So is Kawhi Leonard. This is a long-term plan that you got to understand the level of patience, knowing that when he gets back out on the floor, he's clearly going to be a difference maker. Doc Rivers is going to be able to manage this early in the season. I don't see this being a big-time problem for the squad getting off to a good start.
Well, it certainly felt like the shoulder hindered the Thunder. They went into the playoffs last season, and maybe it'll be a slow start for them this season. They have very high expectations. Those expectations were brought up when Kawhi Leonard and Paul George were asked about them being the best duo in the league, full of really good duos, and they said because of their ability of both defensively and offensively that they in fact were. Are you surprised that they straight up came out and admitted that they feel like they're the best duo?
You gotta always feel like you're the best, especially if you're in the conversation. I would actually have to give that title to LeBron James and Anthony Davis because both of those guys are two of the top five players in the entire league.
That's what I felt like as well. I felt like with all the competition and all the different duos and Harden and Westbrook and a healthy KD and Kawhi that I probably wouldn't go on wax and say that I felt like I was the best, but you know what? Kawhi and PG are just a little bit different that way. I'm so excited about this season because of all the interest around the league and the parity that we'll see with the Warriors dynasty being broken up and just the two teams in Los Angeles. And the Lakers had their media day, and something that Frank Vogel said I found very interesting. Here's what the new head coach of the Lakers said. He said, quote, "You come to play the LA Lakers, you're going to get hit. You're going to get smashed in the mouth." And he set the tone in that regard today. Jalen Rose, the Lakers are going to focus on defense. Then he was talking about Dwight Howard there. But my question for you is this. Do you think LeBron James will play defense this season?
I do think he's going to play defense. I think they'll do a better job of managing and limiting his minutes. That's why it's important to not only get off to good starts in the first half, but to take care of opponents by the end of three so that now you can continue to load manage LeBron during big time wins. And a lot of times leadership is just that. One thing saying it, it's another thing doing it. And when you have an anchor behind you like Anthony Davis, who's really good at pick and roll defense out on the floor as well as changing and blocking shots at the rim and getting rebounds, I think LeBron James is going to be motivated and rejuvenated, understanding they have a legitimate chance to win it all this year.
I also think, though, and you've got, you know, JaVale McGee, who's a rim protector. As you mentioned, Anthony Davis is a great pick-and-roll defender, great big man, shot blocker. And we'll see what they get from Dwight Howard. That's what it's going to look like defensively, what Vogel was talking about. But what LeBron James said about their approach offensively surprised me a little bit. Let's listen to King James.
I'm playing through Anthony Davis while he's on the floor, then it makes no sense to have him on the floor because he's that great. And it doesn't mean like every time down, you know, we throw it to him and throw it to him and throw it to him, but we have the ability to do that. And he's been very efficient in his career. He commands double teams. And when you're able to attract two, you know, defenders on one guy, then you have the numbers game. Now you got a 4-on-3 on the backside. So it opens it up for, you know, for other guys on the floor, including myself.
So, Jalen, he sort of hinted at the fact that they'll be running the Lakers' offense through Anthony Davis. I've been watching LeBron James throughout his entire career, outside of a few stretches in Miami. The ball always seemed to be running through him. Do you think that his philosophy will change this year in Los Angeles?
There'll be a lot of pick and rolls with those two players. And usually when you have somebody like LeBron James, you turn the corner, you're going to gain the attention of the defense. And then you're going to throw it back to who? Anthony Davis to make a play. And a guy with his height that could dribble pass and shoot, and the level of confidence that he's going to have being out on the floor with LeBron James in that purple and gold, you want him to continue to be a dominant force as a young player. LeBron is going into his 17th year. He can't be the guy that's leading the team in all statistical categories anymore, and he understands that.
Yeah. So, Jalen, one thing that we noticed about the Lakers last year is they kind of lacked defense and shooting. Those are the two things that we felt like they could have improved on. I feel like with some of the additions that they made, they've certainly gotten better on the defensive end. But do they have enough shooting around these two players, Davis and James, in that pick and roll to really make defenses pay?
Here's the one thing I love about sports, especially professional, is that even the great teams and best players will have weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And so the Lakers won't be the best three-point shooting team in the NBA. But I feel like they have enough guys that can actually score the ball. And people keep underestimating Kyle Kuzma is going to take that leap this year. I know he may not start the season in uniform, but when he comes back, he's going to represent a big three. Danny Green is a knockdown shooter when mm-hmm. left open. I think those guys are going to be able to get him some good looks. Rajon Rondo is an improved shooter. Not a great shooter by any stretch of the imagination, but he also is a champion and he's savvy enough to get to the spots where he can be effective offensively. So I don't think that's going to be an issue. The one thing the Lakers, to me, have over the Clippers, and feel free to steal this, everybody that can hear my voice, the Lakers have a lot more height and yep. bulk than the Clippers do, in particular up front. Look at LeBron, Kuzma, AD, Dwight, JaVale McGee, they have some big bodies that they could throw at you that are going to be productive for them this year.
And I'm glad you brought up Danny Green, because I think he's a slept-on addition to this roster. And everyone watched him in the playoffs. He struggled with his shot a little bit. But during the regular season, he was a knockdown three-point shooter for the Raptors. And you mentioned size. He can cover smaller players, and he's also pretty tall himself. Jalen, one of the duos that I feel like will one day be in competition to be the best duo in the NBA were announced in Brooklyn, and that is obviously Kyrie Irving and the currently injured Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant had a birthday. Remember Freddie Gibbs was telling us that he was going to attend the party? Well, we got to look at that birthday party. Here is Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant getting buckets together, Jalen Rose. They're at Dave & Buster's in Times Square. Kyrie's going all left hand because he got the game card in the right hand. Can't be bothered to put that in his pocket. Is this the first glimpse of years and years of the two of them getting buckets together?
I think so. But again, the one thing that we can't overstate is that that friendship is going to carry to a respect out on the floor of two really talented players. Kyrie Irving playing alongside LeBron James was at his best in the NBA Finals, making that jump shot on the right wing over Steph Curry. So I've seen him perform in high leverage moments. I think the Boston Celtics stint was a blip on the radar. And now all of a sudden, he goes into camp. Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, Torian Prince. They have a lot of young guys that they can play through and around in the Eastern Conference. They'll be 6-7 in the playoff seeding, because you know KD is going to come back and then catapult them to being one of the better teams in the conference.
Absolutely. And don't forget my guy, Joe Harris. Now, Jalen, we saw them at Dave & Buster's celebrating KD's birthday. Do you think that was the pre-party or was that the whole party?
That was not the entire party, I'm sure. Our guy Freddie Gibbs would not fly across country for only a Dave & Buster's party. How about that?
Big shout out to Freddie Gibbs.
Shout out.
Jalen Rose, you always say there are no moral victories, although I feel like the Detroit Lions got one on Sunday. And this is the best loss of the weekend, and we have to go to Western New York to see it, where the Bills hosted the Patriots, and they held Tom Brady to zero touchdowns. The only touchdown scored by the Patriots was defensive. Tom Brady and that offense got 9 field goals together. The defense looked great. They were in the game until the end. Jalen Rose, I consider this a pretty impressive showing from the Bills. What do you think?
It was great for Frank Gore to be out there running wild the way he was. Josh Allen, before he got concussed, already had 3 interceptions. So that defense was definitely keeping them in the game. On the mm-hmm. other side for the Patriots, they have the best secondary in football. They could constantly line up and play man, which frees up their linebackers, frees up their defensive line, only focus on getting to the quarterback. They have a special defense.
That is a really good point. And that unfortunate injury to Allen brought us the return of Matt Barkley. Good to see Matt Barkley back out there. I haven't seen him since, like, Chicago. Well, Jalen, that was my best loss of the week. What was your worst loss of the week?
I want to give the Titans credit, okay? They took care of business. Mariota had 3 touchdowns. They did really well. However, what's going on with the Falcons?
What is going on with the Falcons?
17 points in the first half of each of their games. This may unfortunately cost Dan Quinn his job. I'm already looking at my phone waiting for Adam Schefter to tweet that he might be on the hot seat, because I'm telling you, this Falcons team is way too talented to only be scoring 10 points.
It feels like the Falcons were in the Super Bowl, I don't know, just like 2 years ago, and now it feels like they are so far from being a productive NFL team. What do you think changes they have to make to turn it around this season to be competitive?
Well, they can't run the football. Freeman was ineffective doing that. They couldn't get Julio involved. Ridley got off to a bang at the start of last year, and he seemed to not be able to get involved. Sanu played a pretty good game, but they just can't put it all together in all phases. And I think, unfortunately, it may cost Dan Quinn his job.
Are you convinced that Matt Ryan is the quarterback of the future in Atlanta?
Yes, he's a franchise quarterback. He wasn't the actual reason that they lost. He didn't have any interceptions. He didn't have any touchdowns either. But again, they still have to find ways to get a defense that's going to get stops when they need it. Every time I looked up, the Titans was doing another creative touchdown celebration. They did the safe. They was doing all kinds of stuff. I'm like, oh, okay. They out here having fun with these boys.
Mariota did not look impressive early on in the season, but seemed to have turned it around in the last couple weeks. Do you think that Mariota has what it takes to bring this Titans team to a run in the AFC?
He's been inconsistent, and I'm pretty sure that they're looking and trying to figure out if he's going to be the guy that they give big-time money to moving forward. I think that remains to be seen as the season progresses.
Well, the Raiders had the tough test of facing future face of not just the franchise, but of the league. My guy, Jacoby Brissett and the Colts. The Raiders ended up making light work of the Colts and Brissett. What do you think of the Raiders and them moving forward? And more particularly, the story of this game wasn't necessarily the win. Vontaze Burfict has been suspended for the rest of the season without pay. He has 3 days to appeal. Jalen, what do you think about this tough punishment from the league?
I understand that he's not a first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 11-time, 12-time offender. I know this. And I'm probably going to be in the minority when I say this. I'm actually uncomfortable with the fact that he's going to be suspended for the remainder of the season without pay. Because this is something that happened on the field. And I see various players get themselves into situations off the field, yet they don't get punishments this severe. So I'm uncomfortable with taking a man's livelihood away and all of the finance that come with it for something that happened within the lines.
It is interesting. I mean, I do believe that he should be punished. I do believe he should have been ejected from the game. But this does seem a little heavy-handed. Now, of course, you can point back to literally a dozen times in which Burfict did something on the field of play that deserved, in the league's mind, a suspension or a fine. But this particular hit, to be suspended for the remaining 12 games of the regular season without pay, does seem like a lot. I mean, player safety is a focus. But Jalen, I think he's going to appeal. Do you think there's a chance that he actually wins the appeal?
I think he's going to appeal. Hopefully he does win it. Just put it in a different context of Kareem Hunt, who got suspended for 8 weeks. He's going to be back playing with the Browns. And Burfict did something between the lines and got suspended for the rest of the year. I just don't like that. I hope that he wins his appeal.
We will keep an eye on Adam Schefter's Twitter feed to get the latest, as we always do here at ESPN. Yep. Now, we have a Monday Night Football matchup tonight. 2-0-3 teams. That team that we just saw, Burfict's previous team, his Cincinnati Bengals, and the very disappointing Pittsburgh Steelers. Obviously, they can't control Ben Roethlisberger's injury, but Mason Rudolph certainly hasn't seemed to be a very, you know, good quarterback in what we've seen from him this far. Jalen, what reasons do you have to watch the game tonight?
It's on ESPN, and that's where we work. That's the number one reason.
Well, I've got...
What are your reasons to watch the game?
I've got a full list of reasons to watch the game tonight, which I think are compelling. First, I start with the obvious. Degenerate fan gambling. You know what I mean? There's always a reason to make any game interesting when you put a little money on it, which is legal in many states. And also, will Juju and James Conner finally break out? Not just for fantasy reasons, but also just to see these two players that I expected so much from this season to see if they can finally perform like they did last year. And find out who Zach Taylor is. A lot of people don't know who the head coach of the Bengals is now. Zach Taylor, former Nebraska quarterback. He was under McVay with the Rams. There's a lot of high expectations for him getting this offense together. Here they're going to be without AJ Green, which will not help. And the halftime music video thing they do every week. Just want to see that. You know, last week was Blink 182. You have no idea who it's going to be from week to week. And finally, the most important one, Jalen Rose. I already watched Power, okay? I've already watched Power.
Yes! Yes!
I've already watched Power. So you got to watch something on Monday Night Football. I've already watched Succession. So, Jalen, very quickly, give us a Power breakdown.
I don't want to do a spoiler because today is Monday.
No spoilers.
Okay.
No spoilers.
But what I will say to all of the people who love Power as much as I do, because I've already watched this week's episode 3 times, it's an interesting twist with Tyreek that allows Tommy and Ghost to actually work together to get something accomplished.
Jalen, we have a policy here at Jalen and Jacoby. No lying into microphones. I know you have not watched it 3 times. You watched it once on Saturday night at midnight.
What?
I know you watched the fight. Then you watched football all day long. When did you have time to watch Power 2 more times? When?
I watched it after I watched the Spence Porter fight on Saturday night. I watched it again Sunday morning with my wife, and I watched it again last night before I went to bed.
You've got a problem. There's got to be some sort of group therapy session for people that are addicted to Power, and you should be leading it.
Yep.
The Jalen and Jacoby podcast is presented by Goodyear. Drive always discovers possibilities. Goodyear, more driven. So much news coming out of the weekend that we have a segment to weed out the topics that we're not going to discuss, and that is called Keep It Moving. If you want to discuss the topic, you say hit the brakes. If you don't, me, you, and Method Man jump in the minivan and keep it moving. Are you ready, Mr. Rose?
Let's get it.
Danny Dimes is here to stay. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
Yes, yes, yes. Danny Dimes against the Washington team was 23 for 31, and they convincingly beat the Washington team handily at MetLife in New Jersey. Daniel Jones does not look like a fluke, Mr. Rose. Are you sold on Mr. Dimes?
Well, you ignored the fact that he had 2 interceptions. Haskins came in for the Redskins, threw 3 interceptions. I was happy to see Peppers get a pick 6. Washington is one of the worst football teams in football, and not only will this cost Jay Gruden his job, I don't like to root for people to lose their job, but it's just the reality of this profession. I'm looking at Atlanta also. Dan Quinn may be in the firing line as well if they don't get it together.
We're talking about a lot of rookie quarterbacks when we talk about Haskins and Danny Jones, but there's another one who's making noise. The legend of Gardner Minshew the second continues. Hit the brakes or keep it moving.
Like I said, you don't have to do much to get a nickname by the national media. Hit the brakes.
Okay. Gardner Minshew continued to establish himself as a real NFL quarterback. He was 19 for 33 with 213 passing yards. Made one really impressive play here. Look at him. Look at this guy. Getting away from people, pointing. He's like Brett Favre out there. And he got them down the field to set up a winning field goal. Jalen Rose, what do you think about the Jags? Are they an actual sleeper team in the AFC?
Here's what I think. Tom Coughlin is somewhere in the office this week looking at the fine print Nick Foles contract. Because he got $88 million when he signed to play football with them. They were playing without Jalen Ramsey, and they still found a way to beat the winless Denver Broncos. It's going to be interesting to see how they figure out their quarterback situation if and when he returns.
When you talk about winless teams, you know, the Dolphins, we saw that coming, obviously, with some of the moves they made right before the season started. You know, the Washington team no one really had high hopes for, but how surprised are you that the Broncos are 4 weeks in without a single win?
I'm very surprised, and usually this time of year, we're watching plays by Von Miller jumping off the television screen, haven't necessarily seen their defense be as stout as it was even when they were able to go to the Super Bowl. So I am really surprised that they're winless so far.
Well, their defense hasn't performed up to expectations, but one that has is the Bears. The Chicago Bears defense is absolutely dominant. Hit the brakes or keep it moving?
Hit the brakes.
While they did lose starting quarterback Mitchell Trubisky, Khalil Mack, and that Chicago defense continued to dominate, can this defense carry a team deep into the playoffs and potentially to the Super Bowl?
I'm glad you asked that question because I continue to hear fans and people in the media refer to defensive-driven teams like the Ravens or Tampa Bay. That was a different era of football. You're not winning a Super Bowl now only scoring 10 points, in my opinion. So while their defense is going to continue to be great, Khalil Mack reminds me of one of my all-time favorites, Lawrence Taylor. Yep. I hear comparisons going around with certain people all of the time. But as I was watching the game today, yesterday, and I saw him go around and get a sack, I was like, that looked just like LT. And I hate that guy's in the division with the Lions.
And you remember all the hype around Aaron Donald last year, and is he the best player in football, not just the best defensive player? And now we hear about his struggles and facing double teams. Khalil Mack gets a lot of attention, too, and he still manages to get at least one strip sack a game. God, I love Khalil Mack, and I love watching this Bears defense. We'll see what the offense can put together if Chase Daniel continues to be the starter. The Seahawks quietly, really quietly, whooped the Cardinals yesterday. I didn't pay too much attention to this game because there were better games going on. Keep moving or hit the brakes on the Seahawks.
I say we can keep it moving on this one. The Cardinals are going to be on the struggle bus seemingly an entire year. Shout to Larry Fitzgerald, second most catches all time.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
The Chargers and the Dolphins, they also played a football game that very few people paid attention to. Hit the brakes or keep it moving on the Chargers and the Dolphins.
Hit the brakes.
You know what? I pay a little attention to this one early on. The Dolphins look like they might be putting up a fight and maybe picking up that first win, but the Chargers pulled away and ended up dominating the Dolphins 30-10. What have you seen from Miami, if anything, so far this season?
The Miami Dolphins may get somebody seriously injured. The team that they're trotting out there each week to play professional football. I actually felt bad for Josh Rosen at some point yesterday because not only does their team lead the NFL in drops, it seems like they're trying to tank. He's trying to develop and show that he has staying power as a quarterback, and they're trying to tank so they can draft a quarterback. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
It will also be interesting to see how the addition of Melvin Gordon changes this Chargers offense and see if they can make a run in the AFC West. Yeah. Jalen, one thing I know you're very proud of is all of your namesake, not just in sports, but all around the world. And one of them is involved in today's Soft Mover Boss. Jalen Hurts continued to absolutely dominate college football defenses. This time he went up against Texas Tech and he went 17 for 24 for 415 yards, three touchdowns and an interception. He also had nine carries for 70 yards and a rushing touchdown. And Jalen Rose, he did not even play in the fourth quarter. However, after the game, he did this. He hit the weight room after the game. This seems excessive to me, Jalen Rose. He's still in his uniform, working out on social media after the game. Soft move or boss move?
That's a boss move right there. And don't underestimate what's to the upper left of that. Starving. There's nothing more important in that man's life than football. And it shows in that clip. When you could go out and perform the way he did, but yet be so focused, so disciplined, so locked in that you want to hit the weight room. That's leadership. That's a guy that's going to have a great opportunity to win the Heisman this year.
All right. I'm going to say it's a soft move, and here's why. I love Jalen Hurts. I love what he's doing. He's easily the Heisman favorite in my mind. But just do that, but don't put it on Instagram. How about that? How about you go work out and you don't put it on Instagram? It just feels like I get skeptical of today's social media days where it feels like to me he's just kind of like doing it and he knows someone filming it and he knows he's going to put it up on Instagram and he knows we're going to talk about it. It just feels a little contrived for my mind. If you're going to work out after the game, do so. You don't have to film it and put it up.
Can I give you a different way to look at it? Leadership. No. What do you think the rest of his teammates were doing while he was doing that?
Beers.
There you go. There you go. Exactly.
Moving on. Game one in the WNBA Finals is in the books. The Mystics, led by Elena Delladon, 22 points, beat the Sun. The Mystics went to the finals last year and lost, do not have a WNBA championship. Could this be the year that the Mystics finally take home the chip?
It looked like it might be the year. Not only did Delladon win MVP, but she probably is going to be finals MVP as well. She's been terrific, getting it done in all phases. We know that she can make the three. She plays mid-range as well. And with her height, she can still finish at the hoop. She's a terrific player leading that team.
Jalen, you make a lot of bad decisions, but you made one this weekend and you didn't even know about it. You tweeted that not only did you get the Spence Porter fight, that you got it on all the TVs in your house. That just sounds really, really irresponsible. That sounds really irresponsible. Jalen, I know you loved this fight. You tweeted about it. You tweeted about the decision. Tell me about this fight and whether or not you thought that Spence Jr. deserved the victory over Porter.
So it was great to see the welterweight titles be unified. And I gained a different level of respect for Errol Spence Jr. because Sean Porter is awkward and he's rugged. And his fights are ugly. And for most casual fight fans, I'm glad that they got a chance to see him on a big stage. However, I don't agree with the split decision. And I may be in the minority here, but Spence Jr. outlanded him in 9 of the 12 rounds. Okay, while it was an exciting fight, I don't think it was a split decision. I thought it was a unanimous decision. But either way, it was a win for boxing.
It does feel like we're reaching a little bit of a golden era of boxing. Yes, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go too far with it. But the heavyweight division, with all the fighters they have in there and all the big fights that are not just in the immediate future that are down the road in the heavyweight division, this amazing fight in the welterweight division, we've got Triple G doing his thing, Canelo doing his thing. Are we seeing a sort of rejuvenation of the fight game right before our eyes in the late teens?
Absolutely. And watching Spence Jr. and Danny Garcia get in the ring afterwards and acknowledge their fight gets me excited for what might be Spence's fight after that. Terrence Crawford. That's what Ooh. I want to see.
Ooh.
That right there, that's going to be dynamic. Those two guys in the ring.
We have a very special guest tomorrow on the program. Legendary boxer coming through in studio. We had to spend the time to tape with him today, which means we didn't get a time to do too much podcast exclusive. But we will have that interview for you tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that, KRS?
We're not done. Got to give the people time.